Good evening, everyone. Do keep Psalm 23 open, if you would, and let's pray together. Father, as we look at your word, we pray that our hearts will be open to receive from you this evening. Amen. So we're going to be looking at this psalm and this reading from John and thinking about how living lives led by the Good Shepherd are lives worth living. Now we have these views of sheep, don't we, as creatures who mindlessly follow the leader. They don't really have personalities. Actually, sheep are social animals. They relate, they know the individuals in their flock. They even communicate together. They know when someone from their flock is missing. And they need to be cared for, and they need to be led, which is why in Scripture we often have this picture of the Lord as shepherd and us as the flock. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. It's an amazing psalm, a famous psalm, a well-known psalm, but something that's so powerful even today, even if we've heard it many times. This picture painted, probably one of the best known of all the scriptures. So when in John's gospel, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," we find ourselves in familiar territory, don't we? All those sheep and shepherd dynamics come into play. We're invited to imagine now Jesus as the one who leads us to the green pasture. Jesus as the one who leads us beside the still water. But upon closer reading, things get a little bit more, well, maybe confusing in John 10 than in the psalm. Jesus seems to play three different parts of a word picture. But I'm struck how simple one piece of this analogy remains. No matter what we do with Jesus' three functions, shepherd, gatekeeper, and gate, one thing is clear both from Psalm 23 and from John 10. Jesus, the Father, God, is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. It's kind of too obvious to point out. Jesus, the shepherd, us the sheep. Jesus, the gatekeeper, we are the sheep. Jesus, the gate of the sheepfold, but we're still the sheep. What could be simpler? But of course, remembering that we are the sheep also entails us remembering what we're not. And that's where I'd like us to go tonight, to think about this description of God painting in Psalm 23, and then to think about how living lives led by the Good Shepherd are lives worth living. So we're going to look at Psalm 23 and John 10 and remind ourselves that it's Jesus the Shepherd and Jesus the guide, and us the flock, and not the other way around, as perhaps we sometimes mistakenly think. So first, the Lord as shepherd sustains. Bishop Andrew tells a story of when he was going into Russia with a few people from various congregations from the diocese. He didn't know half of the group, and they decided that they'd agreed to meet up at Heathrow to catch the plane and only take hand luggage, because they'd heard rumours of how awful the Russian luggage system was and 3 and 4 hour waits to get your baggage if you took suitcases. So I think there was 10 of them in all, and they all met up, and they were waiting for one person who turned up with a great big trunk, a massive, one of those old-fashioned big, heavy trunks. And you can imagine how their hearts fell. But of course, no one was going to say anything, were they? And they helped this person get this trunk through the baggage system and into the cargo, into the hold on the aeroplane. And then they arrived in Russia, and their worst fears came true. They had 2-3 hours waiting for this luggage to come through, getting more and more frustrated. But of course, they were too kind, too Christian to say anything to this girl who'd brought this great big trunk. And then after they'd eventually got their luggage, they then had to get this trunk and themselves on a bus ride, followed by a mile walk to the train station. So that's what they did. They sort of, between them, they carried the trunk and got the luggage, a hot day, a mile walk, and they were sticky and sweaty, and they got to the train station. Then they had a nice 10-hour journey on their train. And the girl actually asked the bishop if he'd give her a hand to get the trunk up onto the luggage rack. So he was getting even more, "I need to show real love here. I don't want to say anything. I'm going to show God's love here." And then after a couple of hours, when they were sort of just getting into the journey and starting to get quite hungry, because there was no food on the train, no water on the train, nothing like that, the girl asked the bishop to bring the trunk down. And he did. And she opened it, and inside was a banquet. It was a packed lunch for sort of 20, 30 people with fantastic food, fantastic drink, and all the sort of hidden thoughts about how selfish you've been to bring your luggage when we'd agreed to bring our hand luggage went away, because they had what they need to sustain themselves for the journey. The girl had prayed and felt that God had told her, even though they'd agreed not to take any luggage, had told her to bring some food because they would need some on the journey. God sustained them. God gave them what they need. The Lord, our shepherd, sustains us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And David here thinks about God, the God of Israel, and he thinks about his relationship with God using this analogy of shepherd and sheep. And of course, David was a shepherd, wasn't he? And it was a really good illustration for him to use. God as a shepherd, David as the sheep. There's many other references to God in Scripture using a similar idea. Even in Genesis, Moses calls the Lord the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And that's from Genesis 49. In Psalm 28, David invites the Lord to shepherd his people and bear with them forever. In Isaiah, we read of the Lord feeding his flock like a shepherd, gathering his lambs with his arm. In Zechariah, it speaks of the Messiah as the shepherd who will be struck and the sheep scattered. And that's what's quoted later in Matthew. And of course, in John 10, Jesus speaks of himself as this good shepherd, the one who gives his life for his sheep. Even in further on in 1 Peter, which we've been studying together, Jesus is the shepherd, the chief shepherd. And David knew this metaphor in this unique way because of his experience. He could say, my shepherd wasn't just the Lord being a shepherd for others in a theoretical sense. He was a real personal shepherd for David himself. God is a real personal shepherd for everyone here, if we want to allow him to be that. Spurgeon says that before a man can truly say, the Lord is my shepherd, he must feel himself first to be a sheep by nature, because he cannot know that God is his shepherd unless he feels in himself that he has the nature of a sheep. He must relate to a sheep in its dependency so that we can relate to God as our shepherd, the shepherd who sustains as well as guides and leads. If you've got Psalm 23 open before you, can have a look at these first verses on. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He leads me, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. The Lord is as a shepherd, knew how to make David rest just when he needed it, just as a literal shepherd will care for his sheep. The implication here is that the sheep doesn't always know what they need. I wonder if we always know what we need from God. The sheep doesn't know what's best for itself all the time. I wonder if we always know what's best for us. And so the sheep needs help from the shepherd. Philip Keller writes in a book called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23 that sheep don't actually lie down easily. They don't unless there's four conditions met. Because they're timid, they don't lie down if they're afraid. Because they're social animals, they don't lie down if there's friction among the sheep. If they're troubled, maybe by flies or parasites, or scared by lions or other animals around, they won't lie down. And if they're anxious about food or if they're hungry, they won't lie down. Rest comes because the shepherd has dealt with fear, friction, flies, and famine. And how true that is for us with God. God knows what we need. He provides what we need to take that fear, that friction, that flies, that famine, so that we can be led to those still waters, so that he can give us what we want. The shepherd knows when the sheep, when we need that green pasture. He knows when we need the still waters. These images are amazing, aren't they? Rich with senses of comfort and care and rest. Our shepherd doesn't just bring us safely into the pen. He provides for our needs as well. I think that's amazing. I wonder what sustains us. It's easy, I think, to get the wrong order of priorities in our life. Easy to miss out on time spent with God, reading his word, listening to him, talking to him. Time is so precious. Yet where do we place our most importance? I've just got back from a Christian conference called New Wine, and one of the speakers was talking about this. He was actually taking us through the book of Acts and looking at the early church and how they laid great priority in meeting together to pray, to worship, to study God's word. And he was saying how important our priorities are and how we need to see God as so essential, so high in our priorities. Do we place more importance on watching that box set, that football match, reading that book, than we do our time with God? It's so easy to do that. God is our sustainer, but in order to be sustained, we need to spend time with him. We can just look to the example of Jesus, can't we, who went off regularly by himself to spend time with the Father. And if Jesus needed that, well, of course we do. And as well as protector, a sheep needs a leader or a guide. If we're going to be led by the Good Shepherd to lead the lives that God wants us to do, we need to allow God to guide us. The Lord as shepherd leads. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. This is verse 3, for his name's sake. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. This tender care of the shepherd has this, that we've just learnt about, it has this intended effect. David's soul was restored by these green pastures, by these still waters. Now, though, David is being led by the Lord as our shepherd, the Lord as our leader. And of course, the shepherd is a guide. The shepherd was a guide. The sheep didn't know where the green pasture, where the still water was. They needed to follow the shepherd. The shepherd would guide the sheep where they needed to. The leadership of the shepherd was to comfort and to restore, but also to guide into righteousness. God's guidance of David had this moral aspect. And as I'm sure you know, David had some real issues in this area. But this is a key about living holy lives. We've been thinking about this, haven't we, as we've been looking through 1 Peter. Living lives led by the Good Shepherd, because we are called to this holy living. Jesus comforted, Jesus restored, but Jesus challenges us to bear good fruit. Perhaps we need to question what we do and how we live, but we have the answer there. We have the answer in this psalm. Follow Jesus, our shepherd, to know the joy of that restored relationship and to allow God to lead us to where he wants us to be. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we walk through this valley of the shadow. And this line is especially suggestive when we read the psalm with an eye to Jesus, the great shepherd, because we can understand that a shadow is not just tangible, but it's cast by something that is. One can rightly say that we face the shadow of death because Jesus took the full reality of death in our place. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Despite this association with the valley of the shadow of death, under the care of the Lord, the shepherd David could say this. Even in his fearful places, the presence of the shepherd had banished the fear of evil. Not eliminated the presence of evil, because evil is around us, but the fear of evil that Jesus can take away. And look at the sentence in the middle of the verse, for you are with me. It emphasizes, doesn't it, the presence of the shepherd for us, for his sheep. No matter what the environment was, David could look for God's shepherd-like presence and know that you are with me. It's quite significant here that at this dangerous moment he of Psalm 23, verses 1 to 3, changes to a you. The Lord as shepherd is now in the first person. And that Lord as shepherd, because of Jesus, is now in the first person for us. So we have these words, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And God becomes even more personal in these dangerous situations. How many people, I wonder, think only about God when they're afraid, when they're facing fear, when they're facing that shadow of the valley of death? But David understands that the Good Shepherd is personal and is someone who guides as well as protects. The rod and the staff had that, those jobs. The rod and the staff were there, one to guide and one to protect the sheep.